It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Opioid manufacturers and distributors are paying more than $50 billion to settle lawsuits over the toll of opioids. Our state Justice Department estimates Wisconsin's share tops $700 million. KFF Health News is tracking how states and local governments use the settlement money. And you can call in with a question or share comments at any time. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Aneri Patani is senior correspondent for KFF Health News, a journalist in residence at UW-Madison Center for Journalism Ethics. Aneri, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me.
The settlement money comes from companies that made or distributed these prescription painkillers. How does Wisconsin's share of fund settlements compare to other states?
So Wisconsin, as you mentioned, is getting over $700 million across settlements with various companies. And honestly, that number is going up because several settlements are done and agreed to, but others are still in the works. So, you know, there was a national settlement with Kroger, which is a grocery and pharmacy chain, done recently. There are others that are still in the works. So it's likely that number is going to go up, as it is for all the states that participate. So I think there's a lot of money on the way, and it's going to be seen how that's used.
And states like Wisconsin have this like one chance to get this allocation of hundreds of millions of dollars right. How does this settlement compare to the impact of the tobacco settlement in the 90s?
I think the tobacco settlement looms large over this one because back then in the 90s, states sued a lot of the cigarette companies and got, you know, billions of dollars that in theory were to be used to address the problems of smoking, to essentially stop people from starting or help people quit who had already started smoking. But what ended up happening with that money is that a lot of it went to plug state budget gaps, especially during 2008 when the recession hit. Folks used it to just shore up the budget. Other places used it for corporate tax breaks. In some parts of the country, North and South Carolina actually used it to subsidize tobacco farmers. So the money was used for a lot of things that had nothing to do with stopping smoking. So when these opioid settlements were coming up, people said, we don't want that to happen again. So a lot of the settlements have a particular stipulation that says at least 85% of the money has to be used for opioid-related purposes. Now, there's still wiggle room within that, but the idea is that this is money to address the opioid epidemic, which is ongoing, which is, you know, in the last year we had more than 100,000 people across the country die of drug overdoses. So the idea is this money should be used in ways that brings that number down and that tackles the crisis.
As you talk about these potential pitfalls with the settlement money, like using it to plug holes in a budget or to repay debts, how do you develop a state? How does Wisconsin like develop a fair and transparent process for deciding where to spend the funding?
So in Wisconsin, the money is divided between local and state government, which is true of most states. Most states have some portion going to sort of counties and cities for them to control and some portion for a state government to control. So in Wisconsin, 30% of all the settlement funds are controlled by the Department of Health Services. And they have been pretty transparent. They have a website where they list their annual spending plans. They have to submit their plan for the money to the Joint Committee on Finance in the legislature, and they have been putting out quarterly reports that explain where the money went. But then you have the other 70% of the funds that are controlled by county governments and local governments. And there's a requirement that local governments keep their settlement funds in sort of a separate account and don't just throw it into the general fund so that it is used separately and appropriately. But there's not a lot of public reporting requirements. The local governments have to tell the Department of Justice how it uses the money, but it's not necessarily required that that becomes public. And so the bulk of the money, which sits with local governments, might be really hard for members of the public to track and understand where it's being used, how it's being used, if it's being used appropriately.
So there is less visibility at the local government level for how the 70% is potentially going to be used. And the state's 30% has some more transparency for how, where that money is going. You know, who decides? Who in Wisconsin gets to decide how the money is spent?
So it depends on the buckets of who's controlling it. The bucket, that 30% bucket that sits with the state, the Department of Health Services creates a plan, and then it goes to the legislature, and the legislature has to approve it or change it, which they've done a few times, and that's sort of the final decision on the money. The 70% that is controlled by local governments, that will vary from county to county. So it's a lot of times it's county commissioners. Sometimes county commissioners will say, hey, we give the bulk of the money to our county health department and they get to decide. It really is a patchwork. And this is reflective of the entire country, where figuring out who controls this money changes at every state level, at every county level, at every city level. And so it is very difficult for the public to track the money, because for every place you're interested in, you have to learn their process, which might differ from the place next door.
We're discussing about the decisions for spending opioid settlement funds. Aneri Patani, senior correspondent for KFF Health News. You can join the conversation calling in with a question, sharing your insights at 800-642-1234. Aneri, how are these funds intended to be used? What are you seeing that states are using it on, or have they not even started to use it yet?
Different states are in different phases of the process. Mm-hmm. So many states have started using the funds. Wisconsin is among them, at least at the state level, where there is that reporting. We can see, you know, they have used money for buying naloxone, which is the medication that reverses an opioid overdose, and fentanyl test strips. They've used it to help fund medications that treat opioid use disorder. These are things like buprenorphine, known as Suboxone, or methadone. They've used it to cover like room and board for people who are looking to get residential treatment. And that, I think, is reflective of a lot of other states as well. Many states are putting money towards treatment, whether that is particular medications or residential treatment. They are also putting money towards naloxone and getting that into the hands of people who use drugs, or getting it into the hands of law enforcement who respond to overdoses. We are also seeing a lot of places use money to support law enforcement agencies, and that can mean a lot of things. There are some places that are buying cruisers for their, you know, police officers or sheriff's departments. Some are buying surveillance equipment, technology that unlocks cell phones, kind of focusing on the part of, you know, disrupting drug trafficking. And we've seen that in Wisconsin as well, where the Department of Health Services had an initial plan for using the money. And when it went to the legislature, they sort of cut some of the money that was intended for family support programs and prevention services, and instead reallocated $3 million for county sheriff's departments.
Hmm. I wonder, do you see states focusing at all on racial equity as they look to spend this money?
Not across the board, at least explicitly. Mm-hmm. I think some places are being thoughtful about that and calling it out in their meetings and sort of saying we need to address this, particularly because nationwide overdose death rates are climbing especially fast among Native American and Black American populations. But I think in a lot of places, it also isn't so much on the radar of the folks who are making these spending decisions. Wisconsin is doing using a lot of its money to support tribal nations. I think they've put over $6 million towards that so far. So I think it's something that's being considered here.
In August, the Supreme Court blocked Purdue Pharma, the Sackler family, from proceeding with a bankruptcy settlement that would have shielded the family from future civil litigation from the opioid epidemic. What are you watching for in this case, and how it would affect settlements with states like Wisconsin?
Yeah, this case is really interesting, and it's been going on such a long time. I think the big question we're watching to see is, the Department of Justice halted this settlement and basically said the Sackler family can't use bankruptcy as a way to get personal immunity. So if it moves forward, the Supreme Court could agree with the department and say, hey, this deal is off because bankruptcy is not an appropriate way to get individual immunity for members of the family. And then perhaps they would have to agree to a new deal, or we don't exactly know what would happen if that was the case. Or they could the Supreme Court could say, no, it's fine, the deal as it was struck, in which case the family members would not be persecuted, not have to pay out themselves, but the company would pay $6 billion out of its bankruptcy as part of these settlements.
We'll be watching
What I
for
will say,
that.
though,
Yeah. I
oh,
just
it's just
want
that settlement is not a huge one compared to a lot of the other companies are already paying. So that's a smaller amount of money compared to $26 billion has already been paid by others.
We have a limited time here. I want to jump in. Jean from Dane County called, lost a daughter to opioid overdose. And Jean's daughter always wanted to have childcare available during treatment. Can the money be spent in this way to provide that type of service?
Yeah, I think that would definitely fall under the allowable uses. There's a list put on with appended to the end of the settlements that sort of says, support it, and on that list includes supporting pregnant or parenting people who are dealing with opioid use disorder.
Aneri, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Aneri Patani is a senior correspondent at KFF Health News, a journalist in residence at UW-Madison's Center for Journalism Ethics. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.